All right. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, good to see y'all here. And those of us online, if you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing I Exalt Thee. Yeah, you don't have to feel obligated.
For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted.
Striving would be
ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabbath, His name. From age to age the same. To the lowest hell, the guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, yes, sir. Yeah, only three verses and a good refrain. Well, I know you had a couple of pick hymns, but I don't remember what they were. 507, something beautiful. Yeah. Anytime you want. And then you said right across the page, I'd rather have Jesus on 506.
Yeah.
All righty. Something beautiful on 507. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. Amen.
You want to sing it twice?
Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life.
All right, praise the Lord. 506, I'd rather have Jesus.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead
than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, I've got good news. My wife has found a dress for our son's wedding. That was quite the chore. I'm telling you what, you can't be fancier than the mother of the bride, but it's got to look a certain way. Huh? No, even if you try, you can't. So it was something else. Not wearing a pink tuxedo. In fact, it's not going to be a tie affair. I've seen the bride-to-be's wedding dress. She showed it to us on the phone. Beautiful wedding dress. Beautiful. Of course, Trevor hadn't seen it. But I asked her, I said, we're not dressing up for that? She said, oh, no. I said, okay. So I'm... Something in khakis. Something in khaki. Stephanie said, you're going to wear a starched shirt. And I said, okay. Wow. And preferably a long sleeve shirt. So I said, I can't wear a short. No, can't wear a short sleeve shirt. All right, what praises do we have out there? Anybody?
Those?
All right.
Oh, yes, I got to have the mic.
Have the mic.
Hallelujah. Well, I am just thankful. God's been good and been working in the hearts of my family and my loved ones. And
amen.
I'm very thankful for that.
Yes.
Also, God's been working in Awanus and has brought us Jennifer. And
amen.
The Lord worked it out. We need someone to handle our books, and that's what she used to do forever and a day. And
amen.
So God just put it together, and so we're thankful to have her on board now.
Amen, amen. All right. Very good. Any other praises?
I got one. My daughter ran that marathon today, half marathon.
She did the half marathon?
Yeah.
She's not doing the whole marathon anymore?
No. Anyway, you know, she's doing the half marathon, and then she's going to do in February another half marathon, and then she's going to run the Boston full marathon.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's in 3 months and a half.
So she ran the half marathon today?
Yeah, she ran it in 1 hour, 26 minutes. Second place in 45-year-olds.
In her age group.
Right.
Wow. What's her name again?
Jamie Marie.
Jamie Johnson.
Well,
second.
Jamie Marie, I just thought she's still Trevathan to me, but Jamie Marie Trevathan.
Mary
Thon. In half?
No, that's not it?
No.
Half marathon, right?
Half marathon.
Second in her age group from 40 what now?
45.
45 to, oh, wow. That's moving on, man.
They had a 87-year-old man running the marathon.
Wow.
He's still running.
Never too old.
He's still running.
No, certainly he's through by now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Close street.
Yeah. They have a broom. They call a broom vehicle that comes, and if you're too far behind, they say get in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they got to open the streets back up, man. Yeah. They call it the broom. Yeah.
I think they give them like 7 or something hours.
Yeah, they give them a while.
Yeah, 7 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. That's a great praise, man.
Oh yeah, she works hard for that too.
Yeah. Amen. Any other praises? Yeah, amen. Service this morning.
Don't be scared of the old matches.
I just want to praise God that my daughter is doing a lot better, but I would still ask everyone to continue to pray for her because the depression and anxiety, she'll do really well for a while.
Yes.
And then it happens again.
Right.
So.
All right. Any other praises? All right. Prayer requests? I got Jessica. Prayer request. What you got, Jeremiah?
Pray for me. Walking out the door to church, I discovered a small water leak under my house.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I went back inside, didn't see any water in the house. I'm going to have to climb under there, and I sure hope it's an easy fix.
All right. Water leak.
I'm not used to doing that. You,
Jeremiah? Yeah, water leak. All right. Got it. Noted.
Let's pray for our shut-ins.
All right.
Yeah, and I don't know how many you got up here written down, but our shut-ins and our unspoken.
Unspoken.
And, yeah, we got John. He's still back bothering him. And Gene, he's getting well. He just didn't feel like he's well enough to come to church, but it looked like he might be got
okay.
Over what he had.
Yeah, all right.
Praise Gene. The Lord for that, and pray for him.
COVID getting better.
Yeah, and Ronnie back there with his legs and stomach and all his little issues going on with him. He's got to go to the doctor and run some tests. So we pray all that comes out good.
When is the big test?
What is it?
27.
27.
127. Oh, amen. Amen. All right. So, legs.
For Ronnie's diverticulitis, he had an attack on Friday that he called the doctor Friday night, and he wasn't able to call him a prescription until Saturday. So, he started it yesterday.
Okay.
The antibiotic.
All right. All right. Amen. And then Ronnie Holman. Yes.
If we could continue to pray for my sister Rosemary. She's got two more major chemo treatments to go. She's doing well. Our doctor is pleased. But she's going to do the two more chemos, and then she'll have the surgery. She's needing a PET scan. And
yeah.
They are very hard to come by. Insurance fight to cover that. And so, but the doctor is trying to get it covered, this second PET scan, so she can actually see if it's in her adrenals. Anyway,
yeah.
Pray that the insurance will cover that. And so she don't want to have to pay out of pocket, but she will if she needs to. But pray, she is wanting to pray that the insurance would cover that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else?
You know, Brother Leah. I don't know if Miss Akora is listening or not. We pray for Miss Akora all the time. But the reason we do the mic is people like Miss Akora.
Yes, she wants to hear.
She wants to hear it where she can pray. She wants to know who's speaking. That's why some of our elders, they used to come here, and they want to hear what we got to say. And that's why we do this, and they want to pray.
Well, we're all for it. Amen.
Amen, and that's why we do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right.
Oh, please go.
For Larry Field.
Yeah, Larry, surgery on the, when is that surgery, 25th? Is it the 25th? I think it's the 25th, yeah. Yeah, Larry's surgery the 25th. Oh, man, yeah, triple bypass, and they're going to do ablation, and then they're going to do something else, about three procedures. I'm not sure.
She said, though.
Woodlands?
Memorial. She said Memorial.
In the Woodlands, yeah. Yeah. Maybe the 23rd. I thought it was the 25th. What is it? Let me check my handy calendar here. Yes, that is correct. It is a Monday, so it must be the 23rd. Okay.
Yeah, and
23rd.
We want to lift up Stephanie because she was really, you know, she's really, which was her dad, was really concerned about it. And so.
Yeah. We'll pray.
It's a big thing.
That's a big deal, yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to be there for sure. She's already talked to her employer. So. The wedding is the 29th, I believe. I'm going to be on a boat, man.
We'll be praying for you, Brother Lee. We're going to pray for you.
I will say this. Isabel, and she's very detailed. I've met with her and Trevor and Isabel's mother about the service. So she wants a sunrise service, of course. Well, that means the boat is already going to be away from port and underway, you know. So we get on the boat on one day, and then the next day, that morning at 6 whatever, 6:40, 6:30, we're doing the wedding. And the game plan is I've got the pressure of having their ceremony done so that I can pronounce them husband and wife and they can kiss right at sunrise. Oh, so that's her game plan, right?
Oh man.
So yeah. So they have not kissed their whole courtship.
Whoa, man.
This will be their first first kiss. So they have not kissed their whole. So anyway, she handed me a sheet of paper that has all the details that I'm supposed to work into this thing, and they're going to quote scripture. They quote two scriptures a piece, and then they quote a scripture together. And then there's going to be a family member that presents me with a Bible, and I'm going to then present them their family Bible, you know, kind of as an heirloom and everything. And then she wants to have this wedding on the very front of the boat on deck 5, where a helicopter would land. I mean, there's a spot there on the front, big open spot. And I said, Isabel, I go, is the boat going to be underway? And she said, oh, yes, sir. And I said, now, Isabel, if we have, I go, have you been on a cruise? Yes, sir, this will be my second cruise. I said, okay. I go, if the wind is blowing 15 miles an hour towards the boat, and the boat is moving 15 miles an hour into the wind, we're going to be standing in a 30-mile-an-hour wind. And I go, nobody will be able to hear. And I go, my little wedding script will be gone. I mean, it'll be gone. And she goes, she's already thought about that. She goes, Mr. Lee, she goes, we have a plan B. And she goes, if that doesn't work out, we have a plan C. I said, okay. I go, whatever. It works for me.
Seems like she's pretty detailed.
Yeah. She detailed girl. She's a detailed girl. Yeah, amen. So, yeah, amen. So that is the 20, what did I say, 29th?
Yeah, 29th.
Yeah, all right, very good. All right, anything else? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord. We thank you for the blessings of life, and we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord, and your mercy. And Lord, we're thankful for our salvation and that we're heaven bound and sealed for the day of redemption, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that. As we come to you tonight, we lift up these praises. We're thankful for what you're doing in Lupi's family, their lives, and Lord, what you're doing with our Awanas program. And we thank you for Jennifer coming on board to do the books, and Lord, we just praise you for that. And pray you continue to grow on us and continue to send these kids our way. And Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory that we can sow the word of God into their little hearts. And Lord, as that word just begins to take root, we know it'll bring about salvation. And so Lord, it's more glory to your name. And so we just praise you and thank you for the whole process. Thank you for the volunteers over there. I thank you for all those that give of their time and their effort to make Awanas come together and work. Lord, we lift up Jamie to you in her accomplishment. That's a great, great accomplishment. A second place in her age group, Lord. That's incredible for this half marathon today. Pray that you just rest her body and get her ready for the week. And Lord, we look forward to hearing about the next half marathon and then the Boston Marathon, Lord. We just look forward to hearing about all that. Praise you and thank you for it. Lord, we do thank you for the word this morning out of Matthew and what it means of your impending return and rapture of the church. So, Lord, we praise you for that. And then, Lord, we are worshipful and thankful that Jessica is doing some better in handling her depression. But, Lord, we also pray that you would just help give her the skills, Lord, remove it from her. Lord, just allow her to go day by day handling this or remove it from her, Lord, that she not have to deal with it any longer. So we just lift that situation up to you. Lord, we lift up Jeremiah's home to you, and we pray that you help him figure out this water leak that he's dealing with. Lord, we lift up our shut-ins to you. Pray that you keep them encouraged and keep them healthy this time of year. And Lord, we pray you keep them COVID-free and flu-free and just rested up. And Thank you that they're able to be with us over the live stream, Lord, but we lift them up to you tonight. Just pray you keep them encouraged. The unspokens, Lord, many unspokens tonight. And, Lord, we just, we know you're in control. We know you're sovereign. We don't have all the answers, but, Lord, we trust in you that you're faithful. We trust in you that you're going to do what's right. And so, Lord, we just rest in that tonight. We love you tonight. Praise you for hearing our unspokens as we give them up to you silently. Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. We pray for Brother John's back. We pray you'd ease that discomfort, ease that pain. Lord, just help that back come back together. We continue to pray for Gene, Lord, and this COVID that he's struggling with. We're thankful that he's better. We pray you continue to bring healing to him. And then, Lord, we lift up Brother Ronnie as he deals with his legs and the neuropathy in his feet. And, Lord, the diverticulitis and everything that he's having to deal with right now. We just lift him up to you, Lord. We pray for this upcoming test he's going to be having on the 27th. And, Lord, we pray that that would show nothing, that there's no growth. Lord, that you've removed that growth from him and that what they thought they saw is not to be seen any longer. So, Lord, we just pray for a complete reversal of that situation. We lift up Ronnie Holman to you. We pray for his cancer, what he's struggling, what he's dealing with, Lord. We pray you just help him, bring healing to him. Be with Nancy as she cares for him. Watch over him as we continue to pray for him. And then Rosemary, Lord, with her cancer, we're praying that you would heal her body, touch her body, Lord, as she undergoes two more chemotherapy treatments. And then, Lord, we're praying that insurance would do the right thing and would cover this PET scan, the second PET scan that she's needing that the doctor has prescribed. And, Lord, we just pray you would work the details of those finances out and allow Rosemary to have this PET scan. We pray for Ms. Sakura tonight, Lord. We pray for her healing and just general health. Watch over her, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct her. And thank you for her card ministry here in the church. And then, Lord, we lift up my father-in-law, Larry Field, to you, his upcoming triple bypass and other procedures on the 23rd. We pray that be a success, that, Lord, you bring healing to his heart through this surgery, and that would allow him to have some other procedures done here in a month or so. So, Lord, we're praying for a successful triple bypass surgery. Be with Stephanie, Lord, as she anguishes and struggles with this procedure, and we just pray that, Lord, your guiding hand would be there for the physicians, the surgeons, the anesthesiologists, all the different nurses and technicians, that, Lord, they take good care of Larry as he goes through that procedure. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We're grateful that we can be in it, and we pray that you lead, guide, and direct us as we try to study it this evening. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. All right. Okay. Well, let's motor on here. We are in, I tell you what, we've read all the scripture on this sin offering. So in lieu of rereading something, let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, and we'll read a few verses there. Let me get there. Hebrews 10. And this is all tied together tonight. We'll get to Hebrews chapter 10 this evening. Hebrews chapter 10. If you found it, would you say amen? All right, we're those of you with us online, Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 26. The Word of God reads, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood," that's the key there, "unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of God. Grace." All right. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and we'll work our way towards that passage as we continue on this evening. Last time we were talking about the principles to be learned from the sin offering, and we sought to cover two of them. We said sin is that which God defines as evil. Pastor Steve don't define it. The Bible defines it. by the Spirit of God, by His Holy Word, He defines what is evil, what is sin. We said last time, we said sin may be either ignorant or willful, active or passive, okay? James 4:17 is a key verse on that. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, he does what? He sins, right? As we continue on this evening, we're looking at sin results in defilement. We kind of ended with this, but we'll go ahead and finish this one out. We said repeatedly in the Old Testament, we find that sin brings defilement, not only to the sinner, but to others, and even including actual physical, geographical places. After a list of prohibitions, God said to the Israelites in Leviticus 18, let's look at Leviticus 18 right quick. Leviticus 18, verse 24 says, "Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. For the land has become defiled, therefore I have brought its punishment upon it. So the land has spewed out its inhabitants." Verse 30, "Thus you are to keep my charge, that you do not practice any of the abominable customs which have been practiced before you, so as not to defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God." Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 7 goes on to say, it says, "I brought you into the fruitful land to eat its fruit and its good things. But you came and defiled my land. In my inheritance you made an abomination." 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 14 says, "Furthermore, all the officials of the priests and the people were very unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they defiled the house of the Lord, which he had sanctified in Jerusalem." Now, how did they do that? How did they do that? What they would do is that they would go ahead and do their Yahweh worship, and then they would go, "Well, we'll go do some of this pagan worship too," on the same day. On the same day. That's how they defiled it. Most of these defiling sins, not all of them, but most of these defiling sins are summed up. I think there were about 6 or 7 defiling sins. They're not all listed here, but most of them are summed up in the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 23, verses 37 and 38, it says, "For they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. Thus they have committed adultery with their idols, and even caused their sons, whom they bore to me, to pass through the fire to them as food." That's that infant sacrifice. "Again, they have done this to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day and have profaned my Sabbaths." Now, sin results in defilement, okay? As we continue on, sin is exceedingly costly. It's exceedingly costly. Through the years, I have made some memories with my kids and my wife. We've made memories together. I've had the wonderful opportunity to attend, to spend good, hard-earned money to attend different amusement and water parks over the years, all right? I mean, I'm thinking, did I really pay that to come in here? I really did. I really did. Am I actually going to pay that for a Coca-Cola? I really am. Am I going to spend that much money on a bottle of water? I sure must, amen? I mean, so I've done it. I've been there. I've got the T-shirt for it, amen? Who knows? I mean, maybe I'll sit down before my mind goes in my late 80s, hopefully, amen? Who knows how many times we've waited as a family or as part of us as a family in line, sometimes up to and over an hour to ride a ride. You been there? Usually, the same outcome occurs after the ride is finished. And not all the time it's me. Not all the time it's me saying this. Sometimes it's one of the kids. Somebody would say, "Was that it? Was that it? You've got to be kidding me. We have wasted half the morning for that," right? You feeling it? Amen? Waiting in long, excruciating lines for short, under-delivering rides is an accurate illustration of sin. That's what it is. When it comes to those rides, we can easily make the connection with sin by saying the price is high and the ride is short. Yeah? Amen? But that is just how it is with this thing that God defines as sin. When you think of what it would cost an Israelite who wished to maintain his walk with God, this is before Jesus. This is Old Testament stuff. When you think of what it would cost an Israelite who wished to maintain his walk with God, it would have been a religion almost too costly to be able to afford. But they did it. They did it. No wonder. No wonder he's kept this people group around. No wonder. Because what did they do? They stepped up. They stepped up. God, and because of that, God has prospered, has promised to prosper his people. The majority of them don't even believe Jesus has come, their Messiah. And when he comes the second time, during those days of the tribulation, those 144,000 witnesses, right? There's going to be a boatload of them at that second coming. Yeah. Yeah, 50 mile an hour. There's going to be a bunch. Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of them gathered in Jerusalem that finally bend the knee to the Messiah that came the first time and to the Messiah that comes the second time. The only solution, as we talk about these principles to be learned from the sin offering, the only solution for the guilt of sin is blood atonement. Chapter 4, there is a sequence of terms which are repeated. In essence, the sequence is as follows. There is sin resulting in guilt. There is a blood sacrifice resulting in atonement and forgiveness. That is the pattern. If sin defiles, then blood that is shed in accordance with God's commandments purifies and sanctifies. Thus, it was through the sprinkling of shed blood that the tabernacle, all of its furnishings, and the priests were purified, per Leviticus chapter 8. The sin offering was holy, and what it touched was also made holy. And I think we've covered that verse, but let's just look at it one more time. 6:27, Leviticus 6:27, anyone who touches its flesh will become consecrated, and when any of its food splashes, or when any of its blood splashes on a garment in a holy place, you shall wash what was splashed on, right? So the principal function of the sin offering was to purify those people and things which were defiled by sin. That was the beautiful mechanism that God had put in place for people to come back into a right relationship with him because of their sin. It's a gracious God. We serve a gracious God, a merciful God. Amen? Yes, yes, right. Only by shedding of innocent blood in accordance with the instruction of God could one's sins be atoned for, right? This explains why only the blood and the fat of the sin offering were used, while the rest was disposed of. Now, we talked about, I think last time, how the male goat and the female goat and the female lamb could be eaten by the priest. But when it was the bull, the rest of that was taken outside and burned in the place of ash. By using the blood and throwing away the rest of the animal, God was demonstrating in a very dramatic fashion that it was only the blood that atoned for Israel's sin. Only the blood, the lifeblood. Only the blood cleansed the tabernacle. Only the blood, the priests, only that cleansed them. Only the people were cleansed by the blood. And the land that had been defiled, only the blood cleansed that from the defilement caused by the sin of the people. In the words of the writer to the Hebrews, Hebrews 9:22 says, according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's what God's Word says, Hebrews 9:22. And so the death of Christ, who died once for all, has made atonement for humanity's sin, for my sin and your sin and for the rest of humanity's sin, and assures them of forgiveness. Right? The Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 53 spoke of the Messiah whose shed blood would atone for men's sins. Now, this is a familiar passage maybe for some of you, but let's look at it. Isaiah 53. Get on down to the major prophets. Yes, Isaiah. Isaiah 53. We'll look at that one right quick. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 4. All right. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people to whom the stroke was due, his grave was assigned with wicked men, and yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Remember on the cross, what does he pray? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, right? Amen and amen. Likewise, when John the Baptist saw our Lord, he proclaimed in John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The book of Hebrews, as we have already mentioned this evening, demonstrates that the Lord Jesus Christ was the sinless Lamb of God, whose death was vastly superior to that of the bulls, to that of the goats, to that of the lambs and the pigeons or anything else, thus making atonement for men once for all. Don't have to repeat it. It's a once for all deal. Amen? Take your Bibles as we Bible study tonight and go back to Hebrews. Which, that's why I believe there will be coffee in heaven. Hebrews. Oh. Yeah, man. Going to be coffee in heaven. Going to be good coffee, too. Santo Domingo. Yeah, something like that. Amen. All right. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh. How much more Well, the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen? Yeah, it doesn't get much better than what we're talking about. Now, if you want to continue on with me, I'm going to go to 1 Peter. And 1 Peter, or the Apostle Peter, rather, agrees with what we're talking about. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. It says, therefore prepare your minds for action. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Amen? Well, what then, as we think about all that we've covered over these last several weeks of Bible study, what then is the great takeaway principle of this sin offering? The great takeaway principle is that Jesus Christ is the sin bearer who died once for all, that the wrath of a holy God might be appeased and that the defilement of sin might be cleansed. In the words of the hymn writer, what can wash away my sin? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So from these principles, there are several immediate levels of application. The first pertains to the matter of your personal salvation. Do you see the value which God has assigned to the blood of an innocent victim? I mean, as we covered the sin offering in Leviticus chapter 4, do you see the value which God has assigned to the blood of an innocent victim, which is shed in the place of the sinner? Have you come personally to accept the shed blood of Christ as God's provision for your sins? And so the terms salvation and the terms born again, I think, are all too frequently misunderstood because we are in our Western church and in our Western setting here in America, in different places, we use unbiblical terminology to define what they mean. What do you mean by that? Well, some churches present the gospel without any mention of sin. Without any mention of sin. Without any mention of sin, they don't mention the shed blood of Christ that provides the forgiveness of our sins. And so liberal theologians and misguided churches, along with countless other Americans who are lost in their sins, they want to retain certain things about Jesus, but they choose to reject the most important part of his person and his work. They want to honor him as a humanitarian. They want to talk about him as a healer, a great teacher, a philosopher, a great example, but they don't want anything to do with his sacrificial death and his shed blood. And what I'm telling you is, if you don't take his sacrificial death and his shed blood for your sins, you get none of the rest of him. You get none of the rest of him. By God's definition, this is taking the sack and throwing out the lunch. Man, you got to have it all, friend. The essence of Christ's work for sinful man is the shedding of his blood. And I urge you, those of you with me online and those of you watching this at a later date, I urge you to trust in Jesus' life and his blood for your salvation. Because he does save for the cleansing from your sins. And so as we talk about these principles, there are several immediate levels of application. Secondly, the teaching of Leviticus on the sin offering has something very important to say to the Christian about personal sanctification. Whenever we sin, we need to remember that it is the shed blood of Christ which God has provided for our forgiveness. Repentance and confession is the means for experiencing that forgiveness and cleansing on a daily basis. Daily basis. Thirdly, knowing the high price that Christ has paid for our forgiveness should also cause us to take sin very seriously. Every sin, no matter how insignificant it may seem, required the blood of Christ to be shed. Does that make sense? No matter how insignificant. Let us never forget that while forgiveness is free, it was not obtained cheaply. And so here is a motivation for godly living. How serious should we take sin, Pastor? Well, God takes unintentional sin more seriously than we take willful sin. Think about that for a few moments. And God takes willful sin even more seriously than we wish to think about. That passage we started off with tonight, I'll read once again. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 29, the Word of God reads, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace?" Now, I'm not for a moment suggesting that Christians are not eternally saved and secure. I believe in the security of the believer. Amen? Once saved, always saved. But I am suggesting this, that the willful sin of a wayward saint is a very sobering matter. It's just not giving a good testimony, is it? Not giving a good testimony that the gospel has really penetrated that heart. And one which will not allow the wayward believer, I cannot tell you how many times I've dealt with this through the years, a wayward believer walking the aisle and saying, "I want to get saved." Well, friend, how many times have you gone through this exercise of wanting to get saved? Well, this is about my fourth time coming down the aisle. I did it in this church over here, and I did it in that church two states away, and I did it over there, and now I'm doing it in your church. And I'm like, well, do you ever think the previous three times you really prayed to receive Christ? Did you really express faith? Were you really trusting in the blood of Christ to cleanse you from your sin? Did you really confess? Well, yeah, I did that. Well, then I'm scratching my head here. You're saved. What's going on? Well, I'm not living the way I ought to be living. I'm not in the Word like I ought to be in the Word. I don't pray, and I don't attend church much. Well, bingo, bango, there it is, friend. There it is. You don't live a sanctified life. Guess what? You don't feel sanctified. You live a sanctified life, you feel it. You feel saved, right? You don't live a sanctified life, the feelings of salvation are not there. Now, if you really meant business with God and you expressed your faith in Jesus to be your personal Savior and Lord, The fact of the matter is, you're saved, right? Salvation is not based on your feelings. Salvation is based on the fact of the Word of God. So you take it at that. Amen? So what do you do with people like that, preacher? Do you run them through the baptistry a fourth or a fifth or a sixth time? I usually don't. I usually encourage them to be in the Word, to come to church, and to pray. And you know what? If they really are not saved, that nag, that feeling that they have, will continue on. And they'll come back and say, Pastor, I think I really need... Okay. Well, let's let this be the final. Let's write that in the fly leaf of your Bible. You prayed with Pastor Lee on such and such date at such and such time, right? Do you believe what we're talking about? Yes. Yes. And we let that be the final thing. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Let us learn from both the Old and New Testament how much God hates sin, if we don't learn anything else. Now, finally, I must say to you, as we talk about these points of application, I must say to you that ignorance is not bliss, in spite of those who would have you think so. This is why a Bible preaching church, not this pulpit specifically, but this is why Bible preaching churches are so vitally important. Churches where the whole counsel of God is preached. Churches where the New Testament is preached, the Old Testament is preached, all of it is preached. This is why it is so important. If you don't attend a church like this here, hopefully you attend a church somewhere where somebody is attempting to cover the whole counsel of God. Why? Well, because the Israelites were held accountable for the sins they committed ignorantly. That's what the whole sin offering is about. Things that they committed in ignorance that then came to mind, oh, that was a sin. Many contemporary Christians and many contemporary Christian churches seem to think that if they don't study their Bibles, if they don't familiarize themselves with the standards and the principles of God that He's given to us in the Bible, that they'll not be responsible for their sins committed in ignorance. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. I would say, no sir, no ma'am, no way, no how. The sin offering strongly suggests, and what we've read in Hebrews strongly suggests, we had better become careful students of the revealed Word of God, for it is disobedience to His Word that constitutes sin. See, the better you know the Word, the better you can obey the Word. Well, preacher, am I earning my salvation? No. But the balance of your existence here on earth and the balance of your life in eternity is for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Yes, yes, amen? All right. We'll close it out with that. We've covered another of the sacrifices. That is the sin offering. Finished. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, that we can work our way through it. We've gone over just a little bit, Lord, but we wanted to get it done tonight. So thank You that we've been able to do that. Be with those, Lord, as they receive the Word. Be with those as they watch this online. We pray that You would work in their lives. And, Lord, help them have a better understanding of what sin is. And, Lord, how we can avoid the trap of it, avoid the terror of it, and, Lord, move on from it. Not that we'll be perfect in this life, but, Lord, we seek to be more like Christ. And we seek to be a little more like Christ each and every day, each and every week, each and every month, each and every year, until we're called home to be with Christ. And so, Lord, thank You for the opportunity to try. Thank You for the forgiveness when we fail. Thank You for the things that we talked about tonight of mercy and forgiveness and grace, and everything that goes with the blood, the shed blood of Christ, how important it is. Thank you for the reminder of it all. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed.